There's so many different ways that my husband makes me feel loved. You know, sometimes when you just feel broke down or, you know, the ways of the world have kind of just weighed on you. You know, my husband's always there. He's always there. If it's just words of encouragement to remind me of the type of person that I am, to remind me that I can't let the frustrations of the world break me down.
Good for you and good for your husband, Pauline. I love to hear that. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. You got it. We're talking love and respect today. And the question we're throwing out for everybody to join the discussion is, when is it that you feel most loved and respected in your marriage? Love to have you share that live on our comment line at 888-888-1717. The calls go there because the calls for the show are already recorded. This is a best of from our archives for Intentional Living. Powerful topic. We've talked about this a few times over the last few months because it is so powerful. And you know, when we talk about love and respect, if you don't feel loved and you don't feel respected, you know, that really damages the relationship. What is it that makes you feel that way? In my marriage to my wife, Donna, two things. One is physical touch. When she rubs my back, I got to tell you, I feel loved. And I think the second thing that's very, very important is when she speaks words of encouragement. Guys, we need that, don't we? We need to feel respected, appreciated, and loved that way. Very powerful. What is it that makes you feel loved? Is it time? Or as my friend Gary Chapman says, one of the five love languages, times? Or is it gifts or words of appreciation? Or what is it when you feel most respected or most loved? 888-888-1717 is the number as we're going into June together, wrapping up our fiscal year together, talking about marriage today, and especially about the power, the biblical teaching on these two issues of love and respect. So again, join us and share your comments on our story line at 888-888-1717.
The way that I feel loved by my husband is when he helps me in the home.
I feel most loved by my husband when he does something for me that I know he doesn't like to do. He works and so do I, and we have three beautiful kids. And so when I come home from work and I see that the dishes are done or that he's swept or mopped, I know that he did it out of love for me. And so that makes me feel really loved.
When he sees me struggling with my day-to-day chores and he pitches in and helps without me needing to ask.
It's just simple things like if I have a heavy box that needs carrying out to the car, or helping me wash the dishes or helping me fold clothes. I guess it's acts of service. We've been married almost 33 years and have people still tell us that we act like we're newlyweds.
All right, practical stuff. You know, we did this topic, I don't know, a number of months ago or whatever, and we had some people who objected to saying, you mean you feel most loved when your husband does something for you, like taking a box out to the garage? Certainly, it's got to be more meaningful than that. But I'll tell you what, you know, life, it gets into the trenches, doesn't it? It's the little things that make a difference. It's the words, it's the behaviors. And when is it you feel most love and respect? Is it some romantic moment or is it in the practicality of the day? 888-888-1717. Let's go. Sam's on the line. Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Fantastic. Hey, all right, Sam. Tell me, when do you feel most respected?
I feel more respected by my wife when she reinforces the things that I say to my kids. For instance, I tell my kids to do, you know, go clean up your room or something, you know, and they just don't listen and just, you know, roll their eyes or just do something else, get distracted. And my wife comes along, you know, and she just rebukes them. It's like, hey, didn't you hear what Dad said?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, okay, so go, you know. And that really makes me feel respected because she really reinforces what I said to my kids.
Good for you.
And we're in the same page, and that really makes a difference.
Well, I tell you, I've seen over the years so much destructiveness that goes on in a family when mom and dad aren't on the same page, and dad is, you know, saying something, and mom is countering that, or vice versa. You talk about dissension, it creates just terrible problems within a family. And by the way, if your wife doesn't agree with you, and I'm sure she doesn't from time to time, does she talk to you behind closed doors, Sam, about those times?
It's gotten to a point where we can do that now. It's like when, you know, when they go out, go away from our presence, and then she tells me, you know, hey, you kind of went too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you kind of were too strong with that, you know. So I'm not saying it's wrong, she said. It's just I think it was a little too harsh, or, you know, something like that, but not in front of the kids. So it took a while. I mean, believe me, it took a while to get to this point. Also, when the kids answer back, you know, it sounds like I have terrible kids, but it's not. They're kids. So they answer back or something, and she immediately, she'll tell them, hey, that was disrespectful. You know, ask for forgiveness for you. You know, that was not right, you know. And they come and say, sorry, Dad, you know. So that, I feel very respected when she does that.
And that's what it's about. Standing on the same page. You know, two are better than one. There's a biblical verse that says that, Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one when they stand together because they have a good return for their work. And you guys, that's a word to wives today. Listen, every man listening will echo what Sam just said. When you have something to say to your husband that's counter to the way maybe he's parenting or handling things in the home that you don't agree with, please go do it behind closed doors. Talk about it somewhere else. Don't do it in front of the kids. But boy, standing together with your kids is a huge form of respect. All right. Doug is next from Michigan. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. When do you feel most respected, Doug?
Well, for me and my marriage, I think I feel most respected when my wife includes me in the stuff that's going on in her life. She's, you know, very sensitive and has tendencies to just kind of hold stuff to herself, and, you know, more often than not, she's thinking about me. She didn't want to add to my plate, stress me out, or any of that. And so she'll try to deal with things. And over the years, you know, we have developed a strategy where she understands that I want to be included. I want to, you know, at least give her somebody to bounce stuff off of and to listen to her and to, you know, give her my input, help her if she needs it, and I feel very respected when she does that.
Mm. Does she do it often, or is it occasional?
She does it often now.
Good.
You know, it's one of the things that's been a work in progress in our marriage, and you know, to be honest, when we first met 25 years ago, I wasn't saved, and I was you know, had anger issues, and, you know, so she would suppress things just, you know, as a defense mechanism because she didn't want to, you know, push my button, so to speak. And so, you know, over the past, let's say, 12 or 15 years, a lot has changed. Mm. And so, you know, we're a work in progress. But every day we're getting more and more on the same page, and you know, so part of it is trust too. You know, she has over the past dozen years or so built on trusting that she can communicate and not, you know, get the bad responses that she used to get.
Absolutely.
25 years ago.
Good reminder. I mean, if we're going to have love and respect, we have to have trust within the marriage. Otherwise, we tend to close up, and in the process, love and respect gets hidden at best, and then we get passive and aggressive at worst. Okay, Doug, appreciate your call today, my friend.
Hey, you have a blessed day.
All right, thank you, Doug, from Michigan today. You know, love and respect is a biblical command, not a suggestion. It's a part of the foundation of a marriage that will honor God and a marriage that can survive and experience peace and freedom over time. And what we've had two callers now in a row said, we didn't start this way. We had to work on it. So if you're wrestling with it, understand this is a process. So don't grade yourself against someone who's already got a B+, because, you know, they were doing D work a few years ago. And it's a process. You keep working at it. It's a decision you make and say, in the process, we're going to work on what is holding us back from experiencing the best that God has for us. That is love and respect. That's intentional living. And that's a one thing challenge for you. One thing to say, hey, if we got a D right now, how can we become a C student in our marriage? You can do it, but you've got to make a decision to say love and respect are a couple of the classes that we have to work on, because in the process of excelling in these two areas, your marriage is going to get stronger. As you were praying for people to come into your father's life, there was a man who you might call an angel because you ended up marrying him. And his name is James, and he had a tremendous loss, and God used that in your father's life. Tell us about it.
Yes, he did, because my dad could respect him. He was a businessman. He was a civil engineer. He was successful, and he loved the Lord, and he had lost his wife. And so that made my dad, I think, willing to listen to him, because they could almost talk as peers, even though there was, you know, 20-year age difference. But James understood what my dad's pain was. And so James was bold and intentional in trying to spend time with my dad and in sharing Christ with him and wanting to share Christ with him.
You know, that's an excerpt from this week's podcast from Intentional Living with U.S. Olympian Trish Porter Top Miller, as we talk about her book, King Here. It's really about the story of her father and how God brought this rich man to a point of decision in his life. So if you know someone maybe feeling like they're too rich or too anything to keep from coming to Christ, you'll find her story fascinating. I had a chance to go on and talk to her about her own personal life at this stage in her life. I personally was just fascinated to hear what she and her husband are doing as now with an empty nest, moving into this next stage in life, and how they're planning to make their lives matter and to serve Christ. And you talk about intentional living. This is a woman who believes in it. She supports it. And you're going to find her podcast very encouraging. So again, come to our podcast, Intentional Living, wherever you find your podcast, put in Intentional Living, or come to our website at theintentionallife.com to hear more from Trish Porter Top Miller and her story of her dad, her journey with her dad and her own life, someone she loved, cared for, and really struggled making a decision for Christ. I think you'll find it very encouraging.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Intentional Living Center, focusing on love and respect in marriage. And the ladies have shown up. They want to comment on this. Julie is next on the line. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today, Julie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
Good. All right. When do you feel most loved by your husband, Julie?
Well, you know, Dr. Randy, brings to mind that my husband never throws back anything in my face. So I feel most loved, and I remember that when he forgives, he just forgives like you're supposed to, and he never brings it back up again.
Hmm. That feels good, doesn't it? Because so often unforgiveness gets in and that bitterness gets going. It creates a problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not good to keep that. And he doesn't do that. So I feel most loved when I remember that he doesn't do that.
Well, good. That's fantastic. Thank you for the call, Julie.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to Pauline in New Mexico. Pauline, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing well. When do you feel most loved in your marriage, Pauline?
There's so many different ways that my husband makes me feel loved, but...
Are you still there, Pauline?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Through the tears, huh?
Yeah.
That's all right.
You know, sometimes when you just feel, like I said, broke down, or, you know, the ways of the world have kind of just weighed on you, and you pray and pray, and, you know, you just ask God to release it and take it from you. Mm. You know, my husband's always there.
Mm. How is he there for
He's
you? What is
there.
It? Is it words or what?
If it's just, you know, words of encouragement, just to remind me of the type of person that I am. Mm. You know, to remind me that, you know, I can't let the frustrations, like I said, of the world break me down. Our children are all grown. And when I just feel like my advice for my children aren't, for our children aren't getting through, he reminds me of the type of mother that I am.
Hmm. Well, pretty special for you, isn't it? I can hear it through your tears. Those are good tears, I guess, huh?
Yes, they are.
How long have you been?
I have an amazing husband.
How long have you been married, Pauline?
We have a special relationship. We've been married for 10 years. When I met him, I had 4 children.
Hmm.
And my children were very small, and of course I was worried about our relationship. You know, I didn't want him to think I was looking for a dad, but I was looking for a dad. You know, they all have the same daddy. But nevertheless, God has truly blessed us with him. He has been a part of our lives for 18 years.
Mm.
My oldest is 25. And he just took the ball and went with it. And, you know, he has been everything and more than a dad, than a husband that I could have ever asked for. So he is truly a blessing from God.
Great story. Great reminder. Thank you, Pauline. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Yes, we plan to. You know, when we think about what we've heard here today on love and respect, it's a reminder that it's been very simple things that have shown up on the phone calls today, and simple things that are showing up on the Facebook as well, like Rachel, who says, you know, my husband, he lays hands on me in a positive way in terms of praying for me because I'm stressed out, or when I got a big paper that I have to get done for school or whatever, or just because, she said, just because. You know, it hasn't been, we haven't heard about, you know, bank accounts and big trips and spending lots of money. In fact, there's been none of that. What we hear with love and respect are words of encouragement, being there for your spouse, standing alongside of them, being a team. You know, it doesn't take much. I'm convinced it doesn't take an awful lot to have a good marriage. It's the little things. It doesn't take a lot of money or take any money at all. It doesn't take, you know, going to the university and having a degree in marriage and family counseling to have a good marriage. You don't have to read 50 books to have a good marriage. Love and respect comes down to the little things that we continue to do. It's the little things over an extended period of time that add up that make the biggest difference in a marriage. So, ladies, when you show respect to your husband through words of encouragement, allowing him into your life, not criticizing him in front of your friends or in front of your children, going behind closed doors when you have a disagreement, supporting him, openly being proud of him. These little things make a big difference. And guys, we show love to our wives when we step up and support her in the things that she's trying to do and accomplishing things and helping her fulfill the things in her life that are important to her. You know, the things that are very love-focused, action-focused, patience and kindness and long-suffering. Those things are the simple things. It's the simple things over an extended period of time that build the foundation that make a marriage work long-term. And you can do it. If you're not, remember, some of the students we've had call in today have been C and D students at one point. Now they're A and B students because they've chosen to be intentional. So my challenge to you for the next 30 days is this. What one thing could you do that would make your husband feel most loved by you? Guys, what one thing in the next 30 days would help your wife feel most loved by you. And then do it. We have a list of the top 10 on love and respect on our intentionals. You can read them. I challenge you to pick one for the next 30 days and work on it for you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. As I was looking at these weeks, I thought, how many of those weeks did I waste? How many of those weeks did I not use wisely, right? They're gone. But we become the accumulation of the time that we spend on the planet unless we choose to do something different. That's an excerpt from my lesson this month on decades of life. And I have to tell you, I often say this is an important lesson each month, but of all the lessons I think I've taught, this one really struck home to me and I think would be very beneficial. I have never heard anybody over my years of working with people really talk about the importance of each individual decade of life, what's unique about that decade, what is it that we're going to have unique challenges in that decade, and what needs to be dealt with in that decade. What do we need to be successful at? Because here's a fact. Some of you now, maybe you're 45 or 50 years old and you're in the 50s decade of life and you're still struggling with some of the issues that could have been or should have been dealt with in your 20s. And you know that. Or maybe even back in that first decade of life as you were establishing trust in the relationship with the family, or the second decade as you're talking about your identity and who you are and you're struggling with that today. This lesson is a lesson that I believe can be transformational for you and your family. This is a lesson I would encourage you to get, play it with your kids, talk about the decades of life, teach them about what's coming, to help them understand what God's intention is for their life. Very powerful. And for members coming to you automatically, thank you for your monthly support. Those of you joining us today in monthly support for Intentional Living, we'll make sure you get included. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate icon and come and be a part of this journey. The most important journey is our lifetime. Living intentionally in Christ. Talking about love and respect, let's get back to our callers. We have a question coming in from a listener in Arizona. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Andy. My name is Cass from Phoenix. It's been hard. I try to do the right thing and just love her, but there's times that it just gets overwhelming and, you know, I just let it get to me and I'm trying not to. Putting God first and trusting Him. But, you know, when she starts saying the things she does, like she regrets marrying me and all types of cold things, you know, to say to someone, you know, I just need advice. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm saying the wrong things to her. I keep telling her, you know, you need to trust God. I've done some hurt to her in the past. I was addicted to some drugs, and I put her through a lot of pain and suffering, but I went to treatment, and it's been over 18 months. I don't know if it's a trust issue or just she just keeps bringing it back, and I don't know what else to say to her. Maybe you could help out with this situation. Thank you.
You know, Cass, thank you for the question. I wish I had a magic wand. For every time I've heard that story, we could just wave it over a couple and you'd all be fixed. But that's not the way life works. There is no magic wand in life. But there is prayer. There is trusting God. And there is doing intentionally the next right one thing. Just based on what you said, it sounds to me like the trust got broken. I mean, you did some things that hurt her. And they built up in her life. And now you've gone and gotten some help for yourself. And it sounds like you're on a healthier path. But she's still lingering there with those past hurts and regrets. And you know what? Some people just get stuck. I wrote that whole book on hijacked emotions. Their emotions get hijacked. They get stuck. They get stuck in the mud. And it's terrible. They can't move on. My guess is some of the things she says to you, like, I shouldn't have married you. I didn't love you, or whatever she's saying. It could be, I don't know, but it could be a way of just kind of paying you back a little bit. This is a very difficult situation, Cass. My encouragement, obviously, and those listening would be that the two of you would have a revival in your marriage. and put the past behind, just like God puts the past behind when he forgives us, and be able to move forward in a new chapter, a new direction, a new vision for the future. I would encourage the two of you, if you're willing, to get some counseling. Find a Christian counselor or pastor that can talk to you. Get those old things out. Get them on the table. Get them dealt with. And discover God's intentional love and forgiveness. Because without that, I'm afraid it's just going to continue to wear you both down over the months and years ahead. Okay, let me see. Another question from Arizona. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Justin. I'm from Scottsdale, Arizona. I am a strength coach. I'm 20, got married young at 19. And my wife and I are just trying to do things the smart way with putting God first, putting each other first in front of our jobs. At the same time, we're trying to find a way to balance out the business that I'm working with. It has me working some pretty, pretty long weeks right now. This last week, I clocked 73 hours just because we're trying to get this business rolling. And I want to make enough money to where 5 to 6 years from now, when my wife and I decide to have kids, that they can come into a world where it's, we can provide for them. We're not struggling. And so I want to set that up. So I guess my question is, what point in time do you need to say, okay, take a step back, you're working too much, and when is it okay to increase the amount of hours that you're working, trying to create a healthy, fruitful environment for our kids in terms of finances when they come into our lives? Thanks.
Hey, Justin, I respect the fact as you're trying to work hard, especially during this time, as people are starting to get their businesses back up or getting new businesses started, there's going to be a lot of extra work and sacrifice. You know, it's a balancing act. I think the key is for you and your wife to really communicate and agree. I mean, if you're starting a business right here in the midst of this, it's going to take a lot of effort. And the question is, can we put the effort in? Are we willing to share the time? 6 years is a long time. But every entrepreneur listening, if you've started a business, you know that can really get into the marriage as well because of time. So the answer to this question, Justin, is this. You and your wife need to have some intentional goals. That's goal setting, right? And you have to be able to balance your life, because long term, you want to look back and say, hey, I did the right thing back there in keeping my marriage and family strong. You can win the battle and lose the war for your marriage. I've seen it over and over. Hey, we're out of time for today. We'll take more questions next time. If you have a question, share it on our comment line. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. I'll see you next time from Intentional Living.